Okay, I'm going to, on this tape, I'm going to read Navadvipa Bhavataranga. By mistake, I started this on another tape, so for about 10 or 15 minutes now, I'm going to play that tape onto this tape, and the quality won't be as good. So when I hear it back, I'll have to tolerate it, but then it'll get better. I think it's worth it.
From Navadvipa Bhavataranga, Thakur Bhaktivinoda. Sarvadharma Shiromani Sandini Vilasa Solakrosha Navadvipa Chidananda Vasa Sarvatirtha Deva Rishi Sruti Ravishrama Sparuka Nayane Mama Navadvipa Dhamma. Which is the crest jewel of all holy abodes, which is the sporting ground of the Sandini potency, which measures 16 krosha in circumference, which is manifest in 9 islands where the Chit and Ananda potencies reside, and which is the sanctuary of all holy places, demigods, sages, and scriptures. May the Dham of Sri Navadvipa become visible to my eyes. 2. May my eyes behold the 16 krosha of Vrindavan within the circle of Mathura Mandala as identical to Navadvipa within the circle of Gaudiya Mandala. These dhammas are but two manifestations of one principle that is infinitely beginningless and purely spiritual, and which, only for reasons of differing pastimes of the Lord, has taken the form of two immaculate abodes. So take a nice sigh here of relief that you've come to the shelter of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and reading. This is the ideal supplement to reading Prabhupada's books. I don't say substitute to reading, supplement, because we just want to read more. And we'll read him within the context of what Prabhupada teaches. And knowing that Prabhupada wants us to worship Bhaktivinoda Thakur also. If I don't hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I'll read Morton Kelsey or Jung or Kierkegaard, and which is better, it's obvious. By his inconceivable potency, Achinta Shakti, which is infinite and spiritual, the Lord has brought these two dhammas into the material world in order to liberate the living entities dwelling there. By the power of the mercy of this Sri Krishna, may the souls bound in matter someday see the abodes of Vrindavan and Navadvipa. I'm dictating this in 1997, and this year and early next year I won't be going to India to see these places. And when I go there, I have difficulty entering the spirit of it. But I don't want to make this a cause for my feeling alienated from the dhams or feeling I belong somewhere else as home. But the dhams can be entered spiritually, perhaps even better, by hearing about them and going there in the mind. May the power of the mercy of this Sri Krishna, by his power, may the souls bound in matter someday see these abodes of Vrindavan and Navadvipa. Only by acquiring proper qualifications can all the senses of the living entities taste the spiritually variegated nectar of these holy dhammas. Since unqualified material senses are incapable of tasting this sweet nectar, those so unfortunately endowed scornfully deride these places again and again as being insignificant locations made only of dull matter. Krishna, Krishna, Bhakta Kripa, Yoga Yata Karana, Jiva Daye, Sadhu Sange, Labhe Bhakta Jana, Jnana Karma, Yoga Se, Yoga Yata Anahaya. The basis of qualification is the mercy of Krishna himself and the mercy of his devotees. Out of compassion for the living entities, the sadhus bestow this transcendental qualification unto other devotees by their own association. One cannot attain this by following the paths of jnana, karma, or yoga. Only by means of shraddha, while strictly keeping the association of saintly devotees of the Lord, can one be victorious over matter? Next, the very moment that the living entity gives up the entangling network of material illusions related to the senses, the eyes of the soul will behold the splendor of the spiritual Dham. Aha! Oh, when will I attain that state? When will I see Navadvip Dham so far beyond the mirage of mundane existence? 7. Resembling an eight-petaled lotus in shape, this abode is immaculately pure. It is so cooling that it defeats the illumination of millions of moons. It is so brilliant that it defeats the effulgence of millions of suns. Sometimes that Dhamma will appear before my eyes. In the center of the eight islands that are like the eight petals of the lotus flower is the ninth and best island called Antardvipa, which is exceedingly beautiful. In the middle of that island rests the Yogapita, or main meeting place of the Lord and his associates, known as Mayapur. Upon seeing this place, I shall experience profuse bliss. The scriptures sing of a transcendental place called Brahmapur. In that realm, Mayapur shines before one's eyes, freed from illusion. Identical with Sri Gokula, in the forest of Mahavan of Braja, and vastly superior to all other places in creation, that place is where the son of Sachi performs his eternal pastimes. And the abode of the gopas and gopis in Braja, named Sri Gokula, is the same as the abode of the Brahmana families in Navadvip Dham. In the center of supremely purifying Mayapur is the radiant home of Jagannath Mishra. This is the eternal residence of the Lord. 11. One whose eyes are covered by material illusion sees only a small house situated there, plus some ordinary earth, water, and a few articles. But if Maya becomes merciful and lifts her covering, then one sees a grand spiritual dwelling. Here, Sri Gauranga is served by his eternal mother and father, as well as by male and female servants, who are all incessantly maddened with ecstatic love. Here, both his wives, Lakshmi Priya and Vishnu Priya, eternally serve the Lord's lotus feet. He manifests in a wondrous form, complete in the five features of Panchatattva. The residences of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Advaita, Padadhara, and Srivasa are shining here and there in different places throughout Mayapur. Indeed, the homes of innumerable devotees are glowing in all four directions. May such a Mayapur be merciful unto me. 14. To the southwest, the combined Ganga and Jamuna rivers praise their own good fortune as they flow in the form of a serpent for rendering service to Lord Gaura, the jewel of the twice-born Brahmanas. Upon her banks are many different landing steps for bathing ghats, and also numerous temples, including the deities of Praudha Maya and Ridha Shiva, as well as many groves and gardens. 15. In Mayapur, there are countless homes of the Brahmanas, plus wide avenues, courtyards, forests, and temples of Lord Shiva. Flowing in the southeast are the incessant currents of the Sarasvati River. Upon her bank is the sacred area known as Ishodhyana, the Lord's Garden. Why should the fallen rascal souls of Kali Yuga, bound up tightly by material illusion, have the privilege of seeing all these eternal, fully spiritual, limitless treasures of the divine realm? Maya has therefore hidden the Dham by means of the erosive, ever-changing nature of the three rivers, Ganga, Yamuna, and Sarasvati. Thus the eyes of the materialist can see only a shadow of the real Mayapur. 17. By the mercy of Sri Nityananda, the holder of all spiritual powers, may let Mayapur be revealed unto my eyes, imbued with proper reverence. May I, this worthless fool, become truly fortunate to behold the vision of the household pastimes of Sri Gauranga that eternally take place in this land. I take this in different ways. One is that in an external sense, even, the Ganges and the other rivers, they keep changing, and so where you once thought a location was, now it's gone. Therefore, there was so much difficulty in finding the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. So it's hard to find in that sense. And the reason is that one should have some qualification. And the rascals of Kali Yuga don't have that privilege so easily. But then even if we say that this here is the location of the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, and here is ISKCON Mayapur, the preaching place for the worldwide Hare Krishna movement, you may go there and not be able to see it or appreciate its great glory. So that takes the mercy of Lord Nityananda, the inner vision, even when you go to these places. Now, to repeat myself, but this is very important for me, if I go there, that's important, and this reading should stimulate desire to do that and do it properly. And then the other point is, even when I don't go there, I can culture thoughts of those holy places as they exist in India, but as they exist eternally, not bound to any particular nation. And so with the inward eye of devotion, stimulated by hearing and praying, I can get close to this. How sweet this is. And let me remember that this is my religion. This is my path. Not just a general spiritual path as taught by Western speculators.
All right, now, next we'll read number 17. By the mercy of Sri Nityananda, the holder of all spiritual powers, may that Mayapur be revealed unto my eyes, imbued with proper reverence. May I, this worthless fool, become truly fortunate to behold a vision of the household pastimes of Sri Gauranga that eternally take place in this land. In the center of the island called Antardwipa is the village of Mayapur, situated as the central whorl of the eight-petaled lotus. That transcendental abode glows with a fair yellow aura, and it is resplendent with networks of effulgences, and is supremely pure. May this place always shimmer before my eyes. Here and there are wooded groves, among which is the lake called Prithu Sarovar, and many pastures for grazing the cows. Oh, how beautiful those places are to behold! There are many water canals, partitioned grain fields, and wide main roads lined with bakula, kadamba, and many other types of large trees. To the west of here, on the bank of the river Ganga, stands the town celebrated by the name of Ganga Nagar. There is the house of Ganga Das, where my Lord Gauranga took his young Brahmin friends and carried out their studies. There also one can see the lovely hill known as Bharadvaja Tila, where the great sage Bharadvaja worshipped Lord Gaura. The sage ultimately attained ecstatic love for Lord Chaitanya, and then wrote scriptural verses that bestowed the gift of devotional service unto many materialistic people. North of Prithukunda is the town of Mathura, and the holy place known as Shashti Tirtha, which is within the exquisitely beautiful forest of Madhuvan in Braja. This is a very extensive area populated by many people. May my eyes become purified by viewing this scene. Further north is the enchanting place known as Sharadenga. Here the leader of the Shabara race, out of fear of the demon named Raktabahu, secretly resides along with the deity of the Lord, Niladri Jagannath. May always just behold this place with my very eyes. Northwest of Mathura, I shall see the splendor of the island of Simantadvip, whose border is the bank of the river Ganga. There the goddess Parvati Devi was distressed and gained relief by placing the dust from the lotus feet of Lord Gaura upon the part of her hair, Sumanta. In the distance, I will see the forest of Bilva trees, Bilvavan of Braja, where the four Kumara brothers remain in meditation on Lord Gaura. And further in the distance, I will see the land known as Sankarshan Kshetra, where Nityananda Prabhu performs his pastimes. This area is manifest to the learned devotees. In the southern portion of Mayapur, on the bank of the river Ganga, and very near its junction with the river Saraswati, is the extensive grove called Ishodhyana, the Lord's Garden. May that garden be the place of my eternal devotions. In this garden, my Lord Sri Sachinandana performs his midday pastimes along with his devotees. Seeing the brilliance of this grove, I shall be reminded of Radhakund in Braja. May all these areas be eternally visible to my eyes. Huge trees and dark vines appear very dense. Among the foliage are various types of birds, singing the transcendental glories of Lord Gaura. There's a large lake and an extremely opulent temple, glowing with pure gold, inlaid with diamonds as well as blue and yellow sapphires. The materialists, with their eyes bewildered by the illusions of material sense perception, and who are envious of the Lord, can never see these groves. Rather, they see only a small piece of land covered with thorns, periodically thrown into utter disruption by the forceful flooding of the river. Comment. I have also been a materialist like that. When I go to holy places with my eyes not tinged with the salve of love, but tinged with cynicism and bodily attachment. Sometimes it happens just by the austerity of being out there in the foreign land and all the things that seem to go on that are distracting. So, for weak-hearted, tender-footed people to be able to just read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book is itself a solace, and we can feel that we're on the parikram. In the center of Madhuvan is the place called Vishram Stala. There is the cottage of the Lord's devotee named Sridhar, and also a clear pond. After rectifying the Kazi, the Lord of the Three Worlds came there with his followers and rested. When will I shout, Ha, Gauranga, at this Vishramba Stala? I will roll upon the ground and cry in solitude. Overwhelmed with the emotions of ecstatic love, will I ever see the beautiful Sri Gauranga Sundara drinking water from Sridhar's iron pot? And when, by the power of great fortune, will my eyes behold the young son of Shachi in the midst of a rousing kirtan, along with Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhar, and Srivas, dancing and begging for ecstatic love at the house of Sridhar? Looking east from there, I shall see Suvarna Bihar, the site of King Suvarnasen's incomparably majestic palace. This is where the moonlight Sri Gochandra dances along with his associates in an enchanting golden form. When will I wander throughout Suvarna Bihar alone, or in the company of other devotees, weeping and sobbing piteously with a choked voice? At the lotus feet of Gauranga, I will beg for a speck of service to the divine couple, and then offer my very life unto the shelter of Sri Radha's lotus feet. Southeast of here is Nrisinghapuri. When will I see the pure transcendental sweetness of this place, also called Devapali? I will roll about on the ground in ecstatic love while visiting this residence of Lord Nrisingha, sincerely begging for his grace. Without a trace of duplicity in my heart, I will attain Krishna Prema. Within my sinful heart, the six enemies headed by lust perpetually reside, as well as duplicity, the desire for fame, plus sheer cunning. At the lotus feet of Lord Nrisingha, I hope that he will mercifully purify my heart and give me the desire to serve
Lord Krishna. Weeping, I will beg at the lotus feet of Lord Nrisimha for the benediction of worshipping Radha and Krishna in Navadvip, perfectly safe and free from all difficulties. When will this Lord Hari, whose terrible form strikes fear into fear itself, ever become pleased and show me his mercy? Even though Lord Nrisimha is terrifying toward the sinful souls, he offers great auspiciousness unto the devotees of Lord Krishna, headed by Prahlad Maharaj. When will he be pleased to speak words of compassion unto me, a worthless fool, and thereby make me fearless? He will say, "Dear child, sit down freely and live happily here in Sri Gauranga Dham. May you nicely worship the divine couple, and may you develop loving attachment for their holy names. By the mercy of my devotees, all obstacles are cast far away. With a purified heart, just perform the worship of Radha and Krishna, for such worship overflows with sweet nectar." Saying this, will that Lord delightedly place his own divine lotus feet upon my head? Suddenly, I will experience sublime love for the divine couple, Radha Krishna, and undergo the ecstatic transformation called Satika. Falling on the ground, I will roll about by the door of Sri Nrisimha's temple. This is a rare passage to assure us that worship of Lord Nrisimhadev leads to purification of the heart, so that you can enter the Madhurya pastimes or worship of Sri Radha Krishna. To the west of this flows the Gandaka River, which is past the Alakananda River and Kashi Kshetra. I shall then see Godruma Kshetra, corresponding to the palace in Braja, where King Indra's Surabhi cow worshipped Lord Krishna. Within the entire three worlds, there is no place comparable to Godruma. It is the forest in which the great sage Markandeya received the mercy of Lord Gaura. Just as Ishodhyana and Radha Kunda lie close to the bank of the river Ganga, similarly, Godruma lies just as close to the bank of the river Sarasvati. Oh, my dear mind, just worship the forest of Godruma. By this you will very soon behold the transcendental treasure of Lord Gaura's pastimes. Seeing the vision of these pastimes, you will easily attain the eternally sportive play of Radha and Krishna. Only this will fulfill all your desires. I'll tell you what I'm feeling, although it may not be correct, that although Navadvip is not different than Vrindavan, still you get the idea that it's in Bengal, and the other one is not in Uttar Pradesh. That would be blasphemous. But still it's in another place, but they're the same. But however, there's a difference. And so great devotees, they stay in Mayapur in a mood of separation, and within themselves they see Vrindavan. So I'm encouraged to think that I could also be in a place of solitude and worship, even, say, Ireland or wherever I am. And by thinking I can be in those places, you can evoke the mood of Braja from any holy place if you're concentrating on thinking of it in Smarana. Godruma responds to the city of Nanda Maharaj in Braja, known as Sri Nandishvara, which is the residence of the cowherd folk. Here Sri Gauranga performs various pastimes. After having a snack of milk products at a cowherd's house in the forenoon period, Nimai goes in the company of his Gopa friends and tends the cows in the pasture land. Gopa gana bali bai tu me to gopala Tvija rupa kabuta vanahi saje balo Esho kande kori tori gocharana kori Mayara nikate loya yata maya pori. The cowherd boys would say, "Oh brother, you are a gopal. Dressing like a Brahmin boy does not suit you at all. Come on, I'll carry you on my shoulders and we'll go herd the cows. Let's head toward your mother's house in Mayapur." Kono gopa sneha kori deya chanakira Kono gopa rupa deki hoya to astira Kona gopanana palapula diyakare, bole bai niti niti aishomora kare.
One gopa would show great affection and give him curds mixed with condensed milk, and another gopa would become agitated with love just by seeing the wonderfully beautiful form of the Lord. Yet another gopa would place fruits and flowers in his hand, saying, "Oh, brother, please come to my house every day."
Vriprera takura tumi gopera karana, tomachari jaitinari tumi jana jana. Ayadeko gabi sabato maradikia, hambarabe dakega savatsyate yadgiya.
You are the worshipable deity for the Brahmins, but you are also the very purpose of life for us gopas. We cannot possibly forsake you. You are the only object of our meditation and consciousness. Just see the cows. On sighting you, they begin mooing and giving up eating grass, even forgetting about their calves.
Ajabe lahoyalo chalo jaganatalaya kalayino estane punakdekahaya rakibo tomara lagidadi chanakshira belahoyalo yeno ami hoybo astira.
Since it is now getting late, you should go home to your father's house, and tomorrow we'll meet again at this place. I'll save some yogurts, curds, and condensed milk for you, but if you come late, I'll be very upset. In this way, Sri Gaura and Nitai play with the cowherd boys from day to day in the divine Godruma forest. If there is enough time, Gaur Bhagavan again bathes in the river Ganga before proceeding home to Sri Sachi. Will such a day ever be mine? When will I see the pure love-laden Godruma pastimes performed by the Lord in the mood of a cowherd boy playing with his cowherd friends? With a mind fixed in the longing to serve the Lord, I will reside at my house in Godruma. So we've heard other songs by Bhaktivinoda Thakur about living in Godruma, and he has a house there that you can go see just across the Ganges now from ISKCON Mayapur. South of Godruma lies the enchanting island of Madhyadvipa. It is very beautiful to behold, being filled with a radiant series of wonderful forests. There, during the midday period of his eternal pastimes, Prabhu takes his devotees along and comes to visit the seven rishis. There on the bank of the river Gomati is Naimisha Forest, where the assemblies of rishis are listening to recitations of the Gaura Bhagavat. In order to hear these narratives about Lord Gaura, Shiva and the other demigods quickly mount Brahma's swan carrier and make haste to come. When will I wander and wander throughout that forest and behold the wonderful vision of this assembly of sages hearing the Gaura Purana by the bank of the Gomati River? On the day of Ekadashi, during the most auspicious month of Kartik, I will listen to those stories of Chaitanya Katha. When will the audience of rishis headed by Shonaka show their mercy by grasping both my hands and putting the dust of their feet upon my head? I will exclaim, "O residents of Navadvip, let us attentively drink the nectar of Sri Gauranga Katha in this forest." South of there lies Brahmana Pushkar. This area is the same as the holy place named Sri Pushkar Tirtha, and it was visited by the best of the Brahmanas named Devadas. Worshipping the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga at that place, Vipra Devadas was consoled upon beholding a vision of the Lord's beautiful golden form. Further south is Uchahata, none different from Kurukshetra of Brahmavarta, which is a place of pilgrimage for the three worlds. Here all the demigods reside, continuously performing Gaura Sankirtan. Sometimes the present-day residents of this area can hear that music. During the midday period of his eternal pastimes, Lord Sri Gauranga and his associates stroll throughout all these forests, overcome with the madness of divine love. While the devotees give hints of Krishna's confidential pastimes, Gauranga sings and dances the sweet, ecstatic motions of Sri Radha. When will I, alone or in the company of devotees, float in the waves billowing on the ocean of love for Lord Chaitanya? Behaving with utmost humility, I will wander around in the various forests of Madhyadvip during the midday period and contemplate the ecstatic emotional states felt by the Lord in those same places. When will the devotees who are residents of Majadweep be merciful and show me, "Oh, look, here is our Lord Gauranga Sri Hari on the bank of the Brahmakund within the town of Brahmanagar. He is dancing and chanting with his associates in a grand kirtan." When will I see that astounding form of Gaura, with beautiful complexion like pure gold, wearing a garland of forest flowers with two long arms, and booming in a loud voice, "Oh, brothers, all of you, please chant the holy name in unison. Hari Nam Bolo Bhai Ekatre Sakale." At that moment, all the devotees, headed by Srivas, will shout, "Hari, Hari," and begin performing Sankirtan. Someone will exclaim, "Chant the name of Gaura Hari, dear brother. Without Gaura, we cannot attain the service of Radha and Krishna. Gaura Vina Radha Krishna Seva Nahipai. Kehova Bolibe Gaura Hari Bolabai. Hari Hari Bolia Koribe Sankirtan. Amana Ishivasa Adi Jata Bhakta Jan. Uchahata Sanikate Pancha Veninam." Near Uchahata is the place known as Panchaveni, Five Streams. It is considered a holy pilgrimage spot by the demigods who come there on vacation. At this place, the three streams of the river, Ganga, Bhagarati, Bhogavati, and Alakanandana, plus the Jamuna and Saraswati rivers all join together, desiring to render service to Lord Gauranga. Next is verse 63. Here Gaura Hari and his associates take bath, thereby purifying the Tirtha from all the sins left by the people of Kali Yuga. Vedavyasa and the assembly of rishis recognize that in all these 14 worlds there is no other holy place that can compare with Panchaveni. When will I bathe in the waters of the Panchaveni and thereby remember the lotus feet of Sri Gauranga, filling the palms of my hands with the very water that has washed the feet of Gaura, and drinking my fill, becoming madly intoxicated by topics about Lord Gaura? When will I be so blessed? Across the Ganga River from Panchaveni is the enchanting island called Koladweep, where the Lord appeared to his devotee Murari Gupta in the form of a boar. All the scriptures call this place Varaha Chetra, rarely attained even by the demigods. This is a purely spiritual realm, pervaded with transcendental bliss. Famous throughout the entire universe is the town of Kuliya Pahar, by all means the topmost place of Sri Gauranga's pastimes. When Sri Krishna Chaitanya attempted a journey to Vrindavan immediately after taking sannyas, he was tricked by Nityananda Prabhu and instead came to this town in the district of Nadia. I notice in the English translation, the one place is described as the most holy place, and nothing can compare with it, but then another also captures the superlative. But one doesn't get bothered by this when the inspired poet says, in his ecstatic mood, that one is the greatest, and if later he says the other is, just accept it. At this place is the school of Vidya Vachaspati, the popular son of Visharada. Who did not know him? Being the unalloyed servant of the Lord, by the power of his pure devotion, he attracted his own Prabhu once while taking bath in the Ganga. When will I stand still on the bank of this Ganga, by the door of Vidya Vachaspati's school, and view the opulence of the spiritual kingdom? After a few moments, will the Lord, who is king among sannyasis, suddenly appear in the palace before my very eyes? Seeing the golden effulgence of the Lord in the form of a sannyasi, I will fall to the earth in great anxiety. I will feel just as the gopis did upon seeing Krishna in Dwarka dressed like a royal prince. Thus they cried while remembering his sweet and simple cowherd pastimes on the bank of the Jamuna. I long to take the moon-like Gaura Chandra back to Mayapur, where he is dressed like a young boy with his divine limbs, and his divine limbs are radiant with ornaments, where his hair is long and curly, and his dhoti folded thrice, and he performs pastimes with his devotees in his own garden named Isho Dhyana. Of course, this sannyasi is my Lord, and I am just his servant. These different appearances that the Lord assumes are but some of his unlimited pastimes. Still, my heart longs to take the Lord back to the temple of Srivas Pandit on the bank of Pritukund. A little further on from here, I see the holy place called Sri Samudragar, the purifier of the whole universe. This is where Bhima had fought with King Samudrasena and received a personal audience with the Lord, who is the friend of the fallen and who acknowledges his pure devotees. Also, the ocean personally comes upstream to this spot by taking shelter of the river Ganga. Seeing the pastimes of Navadvip Dham, the ocean is astounded with divine ecstatic love. In this way, the splendorous holy place known as Sri Ganga Sagara eternally shines near the town of Navadvip. This tirtha is seen both by the demigods and the demons alike. Only the most fortunate souls can see this island of Koladvipa, the abode of supreme bliss, which is none different from the forest of Sri Bahulavan in Braja. Sri Sachikumar regularly brings his associates here, and deeply absorbed in the ecstasy of kirtan, he dances again and again. O Koladvip, please be merciful to this worthless person, and give me the benediction of living in Navadvip among the devotees. Kindly grant me the right to the treasure of the pastimes of Sri Gauranga. In life or in death, Prabhu Gauranga is my Lord. In the northern part of Koladvipa is the village called Champahatta, which perpetually shines beautifully within Navadvip Dham. This Champahatta is a great holy place and is quite an enchanting village. It is where the poet Jayadeva worships the moon-like Gaura. Here in the home of Vaninatha, the son of Sachi performed the congregational chanting of the holy names in the company of his associates. Thus, there was a great, great festival in which Lord Gauranga displayed the spiritual opulence of his own ecstatic love. In this village of Champahatta is also a forest of Champaka trees, from which the gopi named Champakalata regularly gathers flowers for making Radha and Krishna's garlands. This village in Navadvip is non-different from the forest of Kodiravan in Braja, where Krishna and Balaram like to take rest. The island called Ritudvipa is very enchanting, being covered with numerous kinds of forests. It is where all the seasons headed by spring are eternally engaged in service to Lord Gaura. The very land relieves all troubles, for it is the abode of transcendental bliss. This area is the same as Radhakund in Braja. Sometimes during the wild sporting of Sankirtan at this place and singing the glories of Lord Krishna, Sri Gauranga remembers Krishna's pastimes of tending the cows. Thus he loudly and repeatedly calls out the names of the cows, O Shamali, O Davali, then calling for his cowherd boy friends, Sridham and Subala, he breaks down and cries in great sorrow. When will I wander about the island of Ritudvip, seeing the beauty of the forest and remembering these pastimes of the Lord? Suddenly, I will catch a glimpse of the pastimes being performed at Radhakund and become completely stunned by such a wonderful vision. Here on the bank of the Manasa Ganga River, Balaram and Krishna, along with their cowherd boyfriends named Dama, Bala, and Mahabala, herd countless calves to secluded forests. While sporting numerous pastimes and playing tricks, all the boys sing the glories of Krishna. Next, verse 83. The cowherd boys then sit down and engage in various types of funny conversations. Meanwhile, the calves keep grazing and grazing until they wander off into distant woods. Losing sight of them, all the boys become alarmed, but at the sound of Krishna's flute, the calves immediately come running back. While I am watching and watching this pastime with full attention, suddenly the scene vanishes, and I will fall to the ground unconscious. Regaining my awareness after some time,
I shall rise up and then continue wandering slowly and sadly throughout the forest. Hey Gauranga, Krishna Chandra, Dayara Sagara, Kangalera Danatumi Ami To Pamara, Ai Boli Kandi Kandi Hoi Agrasara, Dikibo Sahasa Ami, Sri Vijayanagara. O Gauranga, O Krishna Chandra, O oceans of mercy, you are the wealth for the wretched and poor, and I am the lowest rascal. Saying this, while weeping and sobbing continuously, I will move onwards. Then suddenly I will behold the town of Vidyanagara. This place is the abode of the four Vedas and the 64 branches of knowledge. Vidyanagara is without a doubt the central seat of Saraswati, the goddess of learning. Taking shelter in this pit, Lord Brahma, Shiva, and the rishis have revealed all types of knowledge to the material world. Knowing that the Lord would sport his educational pastimes here, the teacher of the demigods, named Brihaspati, gave up his abode in the heavenly planets and took the form of Vasudeva Sarvabhauma. Here at Vidyanagara, he taught all types of knowledge according to various processes. Whoever lives at Vidyanagara, the town of knowledge, and sings the glories of Gaura, becomes a fortunate teacher and will never know grief. Whoever takes darshan of the area of Vidyanagara and worships Lord Gaura, the nectar-producing moon, will be freed from all ignorance. Will I ever see that beautiful Sri Gaura Sundara as he goes to Vidyanagara out of his affinity for gaining knowledge? I will see him chastising Devananda Mahashaya with strong words for committing an offense unto Srivas Pandit. Thus the merciful Lord always takes the side of his devotee and defends him. Even Ananta Shesha cannot understand anything about the pastimes of my Lord. When he will become excited by a particular action, what he meditates on while sitting still, why he gives up his kirtan to chastise the students who criticized him for chanting Gopi Gopi, nor how much happiness he feels by defeating his teachers. Whatever the Lord does is a cause of bliss. The Lord is completely independent, and I am simply his humble servant. My tiny intelligence is naturally limited, and so I have no power whatsoever to judge his actions. All the inhabitants of Navadvipa who act as the Lord's teachers are nourishers of his eternal pastimes. Therefore, they are worthy of my respects. All of you, please show your compassion to me, a fallen and destitute person. Kindly bestow upon me the qualification for chanting Nama Sankirtan. To the Tirtha of Vidyanagara, I make this request. I pray that the ignorance which hides the truth of Lord Gaura's pastimes may never cover my mind. With that veil lifted, may I always transcend and live far beyond the realm of Maya's illusion. North of Vidyanagara shines the island of Janudvipa, where the forest hermitage of the ascetic Janu Muni is visible to all moving and non-moving beings. Here, the best of Munis drank some water from the river Ganga, and the river then appeared as his daughter, named Janavi. Here at Janu Muni's hermitage, Krishna's devotee named Bhishma learned Bhagavat Dharma relating to Lord Trivikram. Janu himself took to worshipping the Lord in a manner free from duplicity and easily attained lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. The island of Janudvipa is none different from the forest of Bhadravan in Braja. When will that spotless divine forest be visible to my eyes? Within that forest is the hill known as Bhishma Tila. On the top of that hill, I shall stay and perform my worship of the Lord.
In the evening, Bhishma Dev, with a pleased mind, will appear before me in his pure spiritual body, his complexion blackish like Krishna's, holding tulsi beads in his hands and marked with 12 tilak marks on his body. He is overflowing with the bliss of constantly chanting the Lord's holy names. He will say to me, "Listen, O newcomer to Navadvip. Today my words are praising the glories of Lord Gauranga. Long ago, during the battle of Kurukshetra, I was struck down and fatally wounded. While dying, I was able to behold the form of the moon-like Sri Krishna Chandra with fixed attention. At the time of my death, Lord Krishna told me, 'Formerly you had darshan of Navadvip, and by that pious activity you have gained Gauranga's mercy. Thus you have now become the eternal resident of Navadvip.'" Bhishma continues, "Therefore I ask you to please give up all of the desires, live in Navadvip, and worship Gaur Hari. You need no longer fear the bondage of material sense objects, for you will definitely attain the service of Gauranga's lotus feet. By the desire of the Lord, the liberated souls can see at all times the pastimes of Krishna and the pastimes of Gaura in this Dhamma. Here is the complete absence of the conditioned soul's afflictions, such as lamentation, fear, death, all causes of disturbance, as well as desires to be inimical to the Lord. The pure devotees are intoxicated by drinking the wine of servitude to Lord Krishna, and they are all immersed in the ocean of happiness while performing their respective forms of worship. They do not know the pains of the material world, nor do they experience the difficulty of any wants, because everyone is situated in their pure spiritual bodies and possess only perfect desires. The Supreme Lord has multitudes of servants who are limitless in number. His devoted associates come from two main categories, the Nityamukta, or eternally liberated souls, and the Buddha-mukta, or liberated devotees coming from the material world as former conditioned souls. Nityamukta and Buddha-mukta. In these very forests of Navadvip Dham, the Lord performs his eternal pastimes along with each of these devotees according to their own respective emotional mood. This transcendental abode is unlimited, with no presence of dull matter whatsoever. Here, only the spiritually conscious energy is in control as the predominating goddess. Everything and everyone here is in perfect accord as followers of the Lord, including place, time, actions, and the bodies of the living entities. All these things are harmoniously situated beyond the illusory energy. This truth is definitely absolute. According to the Lord's desire, as long as we do not give up the material body, then for that long we will not perceive the actual ecstatic mood of this Dham in its complete form. That is because your intelligence refuses to give up its habitual attachment to material designations. According to the Lord's desire, when you receive a spiritual body, then your progressive advancement here is unobstructed. The veil of illusion generated by the material energy will retreat far away, and you will obtain unlimited bliss in this eternal spiritual realm. Oh, brother, as long as you have this material body, then very carefully remain always fixed in the principles of devotion, service to the devotees, chanting the holy name of Krishna, and worship of the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, should be performed diligently at all times while remaining aloof from temptations of sense gratification. By the power of the mercy of the Dham, the mercy of the holy name, and the mercy of the devotees, expertly keep undesirable association far away. Dhamma kripa, nama kripa, bhakta kripa bale, asadu sambande dure rakaho kaushole. Very soon you will attain residence in the eternal abode, where pure devotional service to the divine couple will become manifest by direct revelation. Hearing these instructions of Bhishma Dev, I will fall down at his feet like a rod and offer obeisances with all my limbs. Giving me his blessings, He will then disappear. Weeping and weeping, I will proceed to the forest on the island of Modadruma Dvipa. Next is 110. This island of Modadruma is none different from the forest of Sri Bandiravan in Braja. All the animals and birds are fully spiritual entities, having the nature of pure goodness. In the branches of the trees sit cuckoos who incessantly sing the glories of Lord Gauranga, Sita, and Rama. Countless banyan trees spread out their shade-giving branches splendorously here in Bandiravan and block out the rays of the sun. When will this wonderfully shady place where Balaram and Krishna display their pastimes to the world ever be visible to my eyes? Wandering and wandering about, observing the glory of the forest, I will suddenly behold the cottage of Lord Sri Rama. Then I will see Sri Rama himself, the color of fresh durva grass, dressed like a brahmachari and sitting in one place, along with Lakshmana and Sita. Seeing Lord Ramachandra's beautiful form within that forest, I will swoon on the spot. My entire body overwhelmed with ecstatic love, I will remain stunned and speechless as I feel both my eyes that are heartily drinking the beauty of his form. Being merciful, Lakshmana will come forward slowly, set down some fruit, and place his feet upon my head. He will say, "My dear child, please eat this fruit. Since we are living here in the forest, this is all we have to offer our guests." Just as he says this, the vision of this pastime will dissolve. Weeping and weeping, I will eat the fruit. Oh, will I ever again see the figure of Rama, fresh, green as fresh durva grass. In my heart, I will meditate on that inconceivably beautiful form. Aha! Oh, my heart weeps without end to leave this forest of Bandiravan, the abode of transcendental desire fulfilling gems. In this place, Krishna and Balaram, on the pretext of herding cows, perform so many wonderful pastimes. In the same place, Lord Gaura performs manifold pastimes, becoming madly intoxicated with the sound of kirtan in the company of his friends. Then slowly I shall proceed to the town of Vaikunthapur, within the forest called Nikshrayasa. This place is resplendent with profuse spiritual grandeur. Here I will see Parabhyomanatha, the Lord of the spiritual sky, being worshipped by all the demigods. He eternally resides in this realm along with his three energies, Lila, Bhu, and Shri. As much as my Sri Krishna is endowed with utmost sweetness, Madhurya, similarly the Lord of Vaikuntha is endowed with absolute opulence and grandeur, Aishwarya. Lord Krishna, as Vajendra Nandana, never gives up this same opulence, however, but such aspects of his spiritual grandeur are not noticed by his pure devotees. The Lord of all creation was very merciful to Narada Muni and satisfied Narada by hiding his divine opulence and transforming himself into the form of Gauranga. Seeing that very figure of Lord Gauranga, I will be plunged into the ocean of bliss while dancing wildly and crying in a loud voice. Crossing over the river Viraja and bypassing the town of Brahmani Nagar, I will climb on top of the hill called Akratila, the hill of the sun god. Sitting there in solitude and worshipping Lord Gaurahari, I will become intoxicated with sweet nectar mellows of the holy name by singing it with great relish. Arkadeva, the sun god, will mercifully appear to me with red-hued complexion, long arms, wearing pinkish cloth and tulsi beads, with sandalwood paste spread over all his limbs, the name of Gaurahari constantly on his tongue and his ears, on his tongue and tears flowing from his eyes. He will speak to me, "Dear child, I have appeared before you because you are the devotee of Gauranga. We demigods, although powerful directors of material affairs, are also servants of Gauranga's lotus feet. In my mind, I simply aspire to be the servant of Gaura. By my blessings, you will get Krishna Bhakti, and you will have the spiritual strength to live in the Dham and sing the Lord's pure holy name. But please come here from time to time, singing the nectar-smeared name of Krishna for my satisfaction." Falling down like a rod to offer obeisances at Suryadeva's feet, I will then proceed onward to the town of Mahatpur. This Mahatpur is none different from the forest of Kamyavan, a place of Krishna's pastimes in Braja. Here the devotees of Lord Gaura raise a tumultuous sound in chanting the names and glories of Sri Krishna. In this forest, the five brothers headed by Yudhisthira, the Pandavas, lived in exile for some time with their wife Draupadi. They invited Srila Vyasadeva here and listened to him recite the Gaura Purana. Remaining in seclusion, they performed intensive worship of Sri Gaura Hari. Even now in this forest of Kamyavan, devotees can see the assembly of Yudhisthira and the sages named Boma, Shukra, Devala, Chavan, Gargamuni. Sitting at the base of a tree, they are all weeping as they hear the stories of Lord Gaura. When will I go to that learned assembly? Bowing down to the sages from afar, I will then come closer and join them. Hearing from the very mouth of Vyasadeva the amazing stories of Gaura delivering the atheists, I will breathe a heavy sigh in ecstatic love. After some time seeing the assembly vanish, I will shout the name of Gauranga, cry bitterly and roll about on the earth. Feeling hunger during the second quarter of the day, I shall go and pick forest fruits to eat. Just then, Draupadi, the wife of the Pandavas, will suddenly appear and approach me, carrying cooked greens and rice. She will address me, "Dear child, please take this offering of mine. It is 2 or 4 handfuls of rice prasad that have been offered to Gauranga." Offering Draupadi my full obeisances, I will feel most worthless as I extend my hand and accept the greens and rice. The prasad remnants of Lord Gauranga are most astonishing, and by honoring them, my tongue will become fortunate. Whoever gets the mercy of such Mahaprasad certainly obtains pure devotional service to Lord Krishna. May that mercy eternally be mine, which will enable me to easily give up this world of limitless material illusion. After having taken the Mahaprasadam given me by Draupadi, when will I arrive on the island of Rudradweep? Splendorously present within the forest of Navadweep, this place is the same as Mount Kailas, the abode of Lord Shiva. The smallest fraction of this mountain's effulgence shines brightly throughout the entire three worlds. This place is where the 11 Rudras of mixed blue and red complexion dance wildly and become stunned with love of Gaura. Here the sage Durvasa Muni made his hermitage, gave up his mistaken practice of impersonal yoga, and began worshipping Lord Gauranga's feet. The great sages named Astavakra, Dattatreya, and many other yogis, along with the five-faced Shiva, gave up all the philosophy of impersonalism and instead engaged themselves in meditation on the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Becoming detached from all sorts of liberation, they especially rejected the desire to merge in the all-pervading light of the Brahman effulgence. Sometime I will wander and wander throughout the forest of Rudravan and come to the place called Madra Stala. Sitting there, I will meditate on the lotus feet of Lord Gaura. Then I will behold a supremely beautiful goddess appearing nearby. Acknowledging the presence of this forest goddess, I will respectfully bow down to her. Getting up, I will ask, "Please tell me, mother, what is your name?" With tears in her eyes, the goddess will sadly reply, "Listen, dear child, my sorrow is impossible to describe. There are 5 of us who are daughters of the 5 kinds of jnana, transcendental knowledge. We are the 5 types of liberation. Please listen to our names, Sa Lokya Samipya Sarshti, Sarayuja, and Nirvana. I have been given the name of Nirvana, for I am the form of liberation involving total annihilation of the soul. My 4 sisters have gone off to Vaikunthapur, leaving me behind. Thus left alone, I have become bewildered. By the mercy of Lord Shiva, Dattatreya, and many other sages were endeavoring to attain me for some time. But now even those sages have rejected me and are living somewhere in Rudradweep. All the people are singing of this incident. Uselessly I have been searching for the rishis and still cannot locate them anywhere. Oh, when will I find them again? Sri Gauranga Prabhu has delivered everyone, yet still he remains merciless only to me. Therefore I will find a place right now in which to give up my life, and all people shall know that place to be called Nidhiya, merciless." Just hearing the very name of Sayuja, the liberation of merging impersonally with the Lord, my heart will tremble as if I had heard the name of the witch Bhutana. Trembling in great fear, I will cover my eyes and drop to the ground on the spot. Then, upon feeling the touch of some great soul, I will look up. I will rise and see before me the figure of Lord Shiva dancing wildly while explaining, "Boom, boom." He will sing, "O Sri Sachinandana, O Merciful One, please give your causeless mercy to all living entities and drive away their fears." I will fall at the feet of Mahadeva, the Lord of the demigods, and pray at his feet for my own purification. Being merciful, the Lord of the universe, Vishveshvara, will place his feet upon my head and impart to me the essence of instruction. He will say, Oh, listen, devotional service to Lord Krishna is the essence of life, whereas all endeavors for jnana, karma, mukti, and yoga are totally useless. By my mercy, you will conquer Maya and very quickly attain the shade of the lotus feet of Lord Gaura. To the south, just see the place called Sri Pulina, which is so enchanting. That is the abode of Vrindavan Dham within Navadvip. Go there and personally witness Krishna's pastimes. Very soon you will attain the divine lotus feet of Sri Radhika. After giving me these instructions, Lord Shambhu will disappear. Bowing down, I will then move on, crying and crying all the while. After arriving and viewing the divine realm of Sri Pulina for some time, I will fall to the earth and roll about, losing consciousness. During that unconscious state of samadhi, in a divine vision of my own personal revelation, a wondrous figure will appear performing her constitutional service. Then I will recognize that it is I, the maidservant called Kamala Manjari, an eternal assistant of Ananga Manjari. Sri Ananga Manjari is the goodness of my goddess of my heart. Hopefully she will show great mercy and introduce me to our group leader, Sri Lalita Sakhi. Then she will give me the service of preparing celestial camphor and will reveal to me the confidential pastimes of the divine pair. We will go near Sipulina and see the Rasa Mandala, the spotlessly pure circular arena where Gopendra Nandana Sri Krishna, surrounded by 100 million gopis, enjoys the pastimes of dancing with Sri Radhika, the predominating goddess of the great dance. Thus he is stealing the hearts of all created beings. Ananga Manjari then introduces Kamala Manjari to Rupa Manjari, saying that this is Kamala Manjari, very devoted to Lord Gauranga. Please be merciful and give her entrance into the flow of spontaneous devotional service to their lordships. By the touch of Rupa Manjari, he's overcome with Rupa Anuga Bhajan. He's then introduced to direct service to Radha and Krishna. My dream suddenly breaks and I shall softly weep and weep. Gazing back at Sri Pulina, I will cross the river Bhagiratha, living in my own private grove next to Ishodhyana. I will worship the greatest treasure, Sri Radha and Krishna, who are none different from Gauranga. I will worship Radha and Govinda while staying fixed in my own vows and shall perpetually gaze upon Radhakund and Vrindavan. Remembering the feet of Ananga Manjari Sakhi and remaining immersed in the bliss of my services, I will drown in prema. The Bhakti Vinod, the servant of the servants of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya, is begging for residence in Navadvip Dham. I am eager for the feet of Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Goswami, Rupa Manjari and Rati Manjari, and from them I anxiously beg to achieve my own desired perfect spiritual body and service. O residents of Navadvip, Vrindavan, and Jagannath Puri, please establish me eternally in Isodhyana, the abode of the Lord. That is certainly within your power, for this is also your abode. As my position is simply as a servant, only on the pretext of somehow assisting you in the service to their lordships will I be able to obtain residence in the Dham. O Navadvip Dham, please shower me with your mercy. Without your favor, how can anyone attain residence in the Lord's holy abode? Please do not consider whether I am qualified or not. I am simply clinging to the instructions of Janava Ma, and Nityananda Prabhu is the essence of my life. Whoever reads this Bhagavad Gita...